What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos? You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Thursday. That would make it a buck-off Thursday here on B&E. Who has earned a pat on the back from you? Who deserves a kick in the hindquarters? You decide each and every Thursday here on B&E. It's a tradition unlike any other, that's for sure. It's brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company. You can hit us on the Specs text line with those buck-offs and buck-ons all morning long at 512-337-3776. So get it off your chest this morning. Lot to dive into. We've got plenty from all the fields and courts of play. We've got a major teeing off in golf this morning at Kiawah Island, South Carolina, the PGA Championship. We've got the NBA Play-In Tournament, which was pretty good stuff last night. Another no-hitter in Major League Baseball. And we've got college football news aplenty to dive into as well, which is always fun, and a little NFL sprinkled in there on this Thursday, the 20th of May, and it looks like the sun might come out a little bit today after the rough weather we've dealt with all week long. It says right here on my little handy-dandy weather forecast, partly or mostly sunny, high 81 today, Mr. Godbolt.
Yeah.
So buck on to that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like half awake this morning. I mean, it's like I haven't seen the sun in like a month here.
Starting to feel like Seattle or something.
Now I know why those people are a little bit crazy up
cranky
in that area, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, hopefully we'll see the sun today for sure. And then throughout the weekend, we still got rain coming off and on, straight on through. So let's still
looking
be
better
careful.
Though. Looking like the severe stuff dissipating. Just kind of a chance for showers throughout the weekend.
I played golf yesterday.
And how'd we play?
Terrible.
Nice.
I wasn't expecting to play. The boys called, got a place to play, and I forgot my golf clubs in the garage, and I went there and had to use the loaner set at the club. And
oh,
I
was like, no, that's never
like,
good.
No, boy, it was never, ever good because I'm bad with my own clubs. So guess what? That was not good with another set of clubs.
It's not the tools?
Oh, no, it's the chief who's hitting the balls. It was terrible. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. Hopefully that sun will shine, as he says today, and shine for a couple more days. We need it. Now we can use it now.
Yeah, looking, obviously, as we've talked all week long, there's a lot going on in Central Texas this weekend with a huge Texas baseball series that opens tonight over at UFCU Dish Falk Field against West Virginia. It's huge in that the Longhorns are just a game back of TCU with three games to play. The Big 12 regular season championship on the line. We'll talk to head coach David Pierce coming up at 8:30, our weekly visit with the, speaking of chiefs, the chief of the Longhorn baseball team. Yep. Will be with us. Longhorns up to number 2 this week in the major poll and the RPI, and a big series and big opportunity for his club this weekend. That's where you hope the reins can hold off. It looks pretty good for tonight's game one with Ty Madden on the mound, and then it gets a little shakier into the weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series for the Longhorns. Plus, we know that NASCAR, the Texas Grand Prix, coming to Circuit of the Americas, crossing our fingers for enough good weather to get those races in as well. Four races going on out at Circuit of the Americas on Saturday and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, actually. So a lot of fun here in Central Texas with a lot going on. There's also a major in golf, as we know, and the NBA is whittling down its playoff picture. So let's start right there. Headlines, trending topics as you get up and out on a Thursday morning, things you need to know. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news, and now we'll start in the NBA. Memphis Grizzlies put an end to the San Antonio Spurs season last night with a 196 win in the NBA's play-in tournament in Memphis. Spurs trailed by as many as 21 in the first half. Came out sleepwalking. They did battle back to get it to a two-point. They actually took a two-point lead with 7.5 minutes to play, but came up short. And for the first time in the franchise's 45-year history, they're going to miss the playoffs in consecutive seasons. Head coach Greg Popovich will be coaching the national USA team this summer in the Olympics, but some speculating that could be it for Pop. We will see. Grizzlies, meanwhile, advance to face the Golden State Warriors to determine who will grab the eighth seed in the West and face Utah in the first round. That's because in the late game last night, the LA Lakers rallied from 13 down at the half to take down the Warriors 103-100 in La La Land. LeBron James posted a triple-double, hit a go-ahead three-pointer with under a minute remaining to help the Lakers secure the seventh seed in the West. Lakers will now face Phoenix in round one starting this weekend. James finished with 22 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Anthony Davis had 25 and 12. Steph Curry scored 37 in the loss. Major League Baseball last night, the incredible run of no-hitters continued last night in Arlington, where Yankees right-hander and former Ranger Corey Kluber tossed a no-no in a 2-0 win over Texas. He struck out 9, walked 1. It's the second time the Rangers have been no-hit already this season. It's the fourth no-hitter in 15 days and the sixth already this season. That does not include Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter. That doesn't count, apparently, and it's not even Memorial Day. In Oakland, meanwhile, surging Houston Astros moved within a half game of the top spot in the AL West. They beat Oakland 8-1 last night. Jose Altuve homered on the first pitch of the game. Yuli Gurriel drove in 4 to bag Zach Greinke, who tossed 8 great frames. Houston has now won 7 of 8. College football news, Big 12 Conference announced yesterday that their college football media days are set now for July 14th and 15th. That's a Wednesday and a Thursday at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Day one will feature Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma, TCU, and West Virginia. Day two, with head coaches and players from Baylor, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas will be on hand, including new head coach Steve Sarkisian. News from the Longhorn Land, bad news on the recruiting front. Word yesterday that Vanderbilt safety transfer Donovan Kaufman has committed to Auburn yesterday. He was down to Texas, and Auburn chose his War Eagle over Texas.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
And there you go.
Yeah, decent basketball last night. Well, not the first game, but they couldn't stop Steph in the second game. And, you know, Wiggins played well. And, you know, LeBron and those guys aren't even really that healthy, but they're so big and so physical against a team that's really not. That's a finesse team in the Warriors. Now they got Draymond. He's a physical guy, but outside of Draymond Green, there's not enough physicality for the Warriors anyway to have hung in there with the Lakers. Even a banged up Laker team is just way more physical than that group. Now they can't stop Steph, and I don't think anybody in basketball can stop that guy, because as Zay was telling me before, his bad shots are so bad when they go in, they're so good. I mean, it's like it's like you can't shoot
he
that.
He just throws up these little flip shot 35 footers that swish nothing but the net.
Yeah, you can't do that, but he does it all the time.
Well, it was a tale of two halves, no doubt. I mean, the first half, the Warriors had so much more energy. They played great defense. Anthony Davis was getting, frustrated by Draymond, who was doing a nice job on him. But second half, the Lakers, they seemed a little bit rusty. You know, they had their guys back, right? LeBron and AD back on the floor. They had Dennis Schroeder back last night as they're starting to get healthy. Second half, they played a lot more aggressively. They used that size. I mean, you don't have to watch very long to notice the bigger, stronger team by far are the Lakers. And, they win by 3 points. And, you know, I think most anticipate they'll continue to get better throughout the course of this playoffs. But Phoenix will not be an easy matchup. Obviously, they're the 7 versus the 2. Steph Curry is just he's breathtaking to watch. And I watch the Warriors thinking, man, if they can get Klay Thompson back next year, and they can now they're going to be in the lottery. Well, they can still have to play the Grizzlies, decide where they're going to be in the lottery. If they could add one more piece, get James Wiseman and Klay Thompson back to go with what they've got, Andrew Wiggins.
I believe they still need a big body. They need a big.
Well, that's
body,
Wiseman, man. Right? Wiseman's the kid they took with the second pick of the draft out of Memphis, who also got hurt this year. He was having a nice rookie season before his injury. Yeah, they just don't have enough size, and Wiseman's part of that. But yeah, add some length. Get Klay Thompson back. The Warriors, they could be right back in this thing and be a real factor in the West come next year.
No doubt about it. And Zay, why isn't it that they don't have – why isn't Steph Curry taking the last shot when you need a three-pointer? Don't you get him the ball somehow? I know they have to play some defense in the NBA, and that was the time to do it because you know they were going to try to get it to Steph. But somehow, some way, he has to take a couple of those shots, right?
Yeah, well, the Lakers, they are the number one defense in the NBA. And I think Steve Kerr, he kind of made a mistake because he was in between, you know, they got the rebound. The Warriors did with about 8 seconds left. And sometimes you call a timeout. He didn't. He saw him, you know, waving his arm, saying, let's go, let's go. And then the Lakers, they picked up on Steph early. And usually, Steve Kerr, that's a good decision because, you know, defenses don't have time to get back and find their men. So, you know, it didn't work out, clearly. The Lakers, again, are a really good defense. They found Steph Curry easily. Steve Kerr called a timeout with 2 seconds left, and that allowed the Lakers to set up their defense again. And, you know, that's what we saw last night.
Yeah, it was a good basketball game. Pretty compelling. First real compelling, I thought, NBA game that I've seen this year. Stayed up late to see it, and it was good to see the Lakers move on. And I think the Warriors have a good chance to beat Memphis tomorrow night. And if they do, they'll have the 8th seed, and we'll get to see Steph Curry
in
the 8-1 matchup against Utah. But, I mean, I think what you guys just talked about is kind of my point looking forward to, because I, you know, you're looking for the rise back of, I'd love to see Steph Curry and the Warriors back in the mix. It's really been derailed because of injury.
Right.
And, you know, in that same spot, if Klay Thompson's playing, I mean, they're probably not the 7th seed if Klay Thompson's playing or the 8th seed.
Oh, no.
Well, now all of a sudden you got two all-time great shooters who can knock down a shot. I think they missed, obviously they missed that. They missed some size, but I don't think the Warriors are too far away from being a huge factor in the West again, which would be a cool storyline for the NBA.
No, they're just get their guys back.
Yeah, get healthy.
Again. Yeah, get healthy.
That, and get one and a couple more pieces for Steve Kerr. They're right back in it. Meanwhile, the Spurs run comes to an end. Obviously, back-to-back seasons without the playoffs. I mentioned in the headlines, that's the first time in the history of the franchise, 45 years, that they've missed the postseason back-to-back years. You know, when they drafted David Robinson, remember they had missed the playoffs, they get the pick, they get the Admiral. Then they have a bad year and end up with a Tim Duncan pick, and that led to the 22 straight years in the playoffs with the Hall of Famer and that unbelievable run, and now they're trying to find the next. And, you know, if indeed this is the end for Greg Popovich, Buck, as the head coach of the Spurs, you know, it felt like, and I know Spurs fans don't want to revisit, but, you know, when Duncan retired, it was going to be Kawhi Leonard taking over and becoming the centerpiece of the next run, and we know that never worked out. Kawhi Leonard didn't want to be the centerpiece of that in San Antonio. And, you know, without a superstar, it's really hard to win in this league, and they don't have one.
Well, they don't, because DeRozan plays pretty well during the regular season, and he gets to the playoffs, and he just disappeared last night.
Yep.
He wasn't very good.
They were so bad in the first quarter. It was amazing. Yeah. I'm sitting there watching this game going, this is going to be just like the game the night before with Indiana and Charlotte. I mean, it was 37-17.
Yeah, and I think Pop is just bringing – you know, I think he'll enjoy doing the Olympic team and all that stuff, but I don't think he has enough energy to do this again with the Spurs. I think he's kind of like, I think this is it.
Yeah, and again, you just need superstars. This league's built and always has been around superstars. The Spurs went on that 22-year run with Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. I mean, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and then here comes Kawhi Leonard. He's going to be the next, you know, the heir apparent to the run. And you know, we know how that relationship didn't pan out. And so now, in a place like San Antonio, unless you can draft one, it's hard to lure a superstar to San Antonio. It just flat out is. And the Spurs have built their consistency on drafting the superstar, right? The Hall of Famer and Robinson, Tim Duncan, you know, finding Manu Ginobili, drafting Tony Parker and developing him. Without that anchor, that superstar, those are hard runs. And 25 years for Greg Popovich, he's the third winningest coach in NBA history.
That's a lot of passion to continue to go through this, what he's going through, especially with the great players that he's had. That guy cannot be in the rebuilding mode at this time.
You wonder,
in his
right? You wonder where he's at in his career, and is he built for another
time to head off to the wine country or whatever?
He kind of feels like it.
Hangs out there,
and he's got Team USA this summer in the Olympics. He'll now have extra time because the season is over to get ready for that and devote to try to win a gold medal, and that could be a good way to walk out.
He won't come back. He'll be like, no thanks.
Could be a big storyline of the offseason in the NBA, but that begins now for the Spurs. So that's out there. Zay, thoughts on Pop and the Spurs?
Yeah, it was brutal for them last night. You know, I said yesterday that they're pretty small, and, you know, Giannis Valanciunas, the center for the Memphis Grizzlies, had a 23-20 game with 20 rebounds. So that's, you know, that's kind of the writing on the wall right there. But, yeah, if Pop and the USA, Team USA, if they lose this year, I think they're definitely going to lose because all of the superstars who've been hurt this year aren't going to play in the Olympics, like, what's the point of going? then I could definitely see Greg Popovich retiring.
Wow. You wonder what that roster is going to look like for Team USA, because obviously the playoffs are going to roll all the way up and towards the Olympics themselves and the NBA Finals. There'll be a lot of guys saying, yeah, I'm not. And after the bubble situation last summer into the fall, the quick turnaround for this season, you got to think a lot of the league's best are going to say, you know what? My body's not up for that right this second. So who's it going to be? It's going to be a second tier of guys.
I'll say Kawhi will play. He'll stay.
You think so?
I think he will.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no. He ain't playing. And Pop's the coach?
Oh, yeah, those two. Hell no. He was going to play for Pop.
He was one of the first guys that said, I plan on playing on Team USA. That's what he said that before the season even started, that I'm going to go play.
That'd be a good centerpiece.
Well, yeah, but he can't do it alone. There's too many other great players.
Well, let's remember, a lot of the best players from the other countries are also playing in the NBA. So they're doing the same thing with this grind and playing in the playoffs and the quick turnaround and everything we talk about. So we'll see. Basketball on the brain to start. We've got football. We've got basketball and baseball. We've got golf. We've got the PGA Championship. Did you get your picks in?
I didn't get them in the real thing, but I got them right here.
Oh, man, didn't get them in the computer?
No.
Well, let's see here. Let's see. Who are PGA Championship? Let's run down what we got. We'll get to the latest no-hitter in Major League Baseball, which is almost not even a story at this point. Yeah, with in 2 weeks.
I know.
4 in 2 weeks. It's unbelievable. They can't hit in Major League Baseball these days. The strikeouts are through the roof. The launch angle and all the stuff. Strikeouts don't matter anymore, apparently. But that's what's leading to a lot of what... They don't even put the ball in play anymore in Major League Baseball, Buck. It's a problem.
It's home run or bust.
Home run or bust. But let's go to the golf quickly here in our first segment, because I want your picks, because they tee off here this morning. Kiawah Island. This course, the PGA Championship, nearly 8,000 yards. Nearly 8,000 yards along the ocean itself. You have whipping winds and a very, very long course. These long par fours are going to be a challenge for the best players in the world, Buck. And how do we do this? Who do we like? Who are we feeling here of your group? Can we run you through your picks?
Yeah. Put it up here so I can see it, so I can tell you who I jammed in here.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
Because I will be the winner of this.
You will be.
I may not be in the official contest, but you will hear this, and I have them written down right
and
here.
And we'll keep your score, because it may not be in the computer system, but we can compare your score to...
The rest,
right? That's not hard to keep score here. It's just under par or over par, and you add up what you get.
Because I can pick winners. I may not be able to play golf anymore,
all right,
but I can pick the winners.
You just sound bummed about your golf game yesterday. Where did you play?
I played Lost Creek.
Right behind us?
Yeah.
Right down the road here?
Yeah, you'd think that place was underwater. It drained perfectly. They got two big creeks running through there, so all the water goes through the creeks. And not into the fairway, so.
All right, golfer one. Remember, this is how this works at our hornfm.com golf contest. Hopefully you got your picks in. We appreciate all those that did it for fame, fortune, and glory. Your first golfer, you got to pick one of the top six golfers in the world group one. Rory, Dustin, that's DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he played at Coastal Carolina, so he's used to these Carolina.
So is he in or is he out?
He's in.
Yesterday was
Dustin Johnson
okay.
is in.
Good.
Rory, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Bryson, Boom Boom DeChambeau, and Xander Schauffele, the top six players in the world.
Yeah. So Schauffele's playing like a chump. He can't finish, so I'm taking Justin Thomas.
Ooh, JT won this event in 2017.
He's my guy.
All right, write that down, Zay. Justin Thomas.
Got it right here.
All right, golfer two, Webb Simpson, Tyrrell Hatton, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, Colin Morikawa, the defending champion of the PGA Championship, and Victor Hovland.
I'm taking Victor Hovland.
Ooh, Oklahoma State Cowboy.
The Cowboy's been playing every damn week.
He does. He's like an early young grinder.
He's like our guy who never went back to Fiji, who just kept playing.
Vijay Singh?
He's Vijay Singh. I don't want to go home. I'm just going to hang out on tour.
I'll go to Fiji. It sounds nice.
Yeah, here we go. I got him.
All right, so Victor Hovland on top of Justin Thomas. I like it. Golfer three, you had to pick from Billy Horschel. We saw win the Dell match play. Here in Austin, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, the Masters champion, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Daniel Berger.
Yeah, even a guy who's been off for a while. Everybody thinks this is Cantlay's time to do it, but
he's got the iron game.
I'm going to go with Hideki.
Ooh.
He's had enough time off.
From the green jacket to the PGA. I like it.
Yeah.
Your nine golfers. Golfer four, we got Paul Casey, Lee Westwood, Harris English, Scotty Scheffler, Abraham, Do You Know the Answer, and Sung J.M.
This is a tough one right here.
This is tough.
I'm going to go with the old man. I'm going to go with Paul Casey.
Okay.
Because he hits it straight.
He does hit it straight and plays the wind. Remember, these windy conditions, typically you'll see like a European player or if somebody from Texas is used to playing in these you know, winds all the time, having to angle shots and play with and navigate those ocean winds, these European players are typically very, very good at that because they grow up doing it. How about golfer five? That's Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, Cameron Smith, Will Zalatoris, Tony Romo's playing partner, and then Joaquin Neiman and Matthew Wolff.
I'm wondering, you know, Cameron Smith has been around for a while and really playing well this year, but I got to take Jordan Spieth. I got to take the scrambler in this one.
Yeah, Spieth, he is a lot of people's favorite. He's the odds favorite along with Rory to win this event and get back into the – and obviously for Jordan Spieth, the major storyline is that he would finish off the career Grand Slam. If he could win this event this weekend, what a storyline, even though he's had the comet-like launch to his career and now he's hit a bit of a lull, does feel like he's back to playing good golf. And yet at his age, to become the seventh golfer all time to have all four majors would be pretty incredible. And he's got a chance to do it this weekend, coming off another good performance at the AT&T Byron Nelson this past weekend. Golfer six, is your choices are Kevin Na, Adam Scott, Ryan Palmer, Louis Oosthuizen, Jason Kokrak, and Victor Perez, the big Frenchman.
Boy, there's a lot of guys in that group. Ryan Palmer's been around.
Aggie.
Yeah, Aggie's been in there. Louis is playing really, really. I'm going to take Louis in this.
Louis.
This is a
Louis double O.
Yeah, I'm going to take double O. I know this is a long course, but if there's anybody who can play irons and can hit the ball straight and not be wayward, it's this dude right here. I mean, is he going to be long enough for this course? That's the only scary thing. Ryan Palmer's a guy who can hit it long. The guy who's been playing better than everybody in this whole little group is Jason Kokrak. I mean, that's the guy.
I took Kokrak in that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Louis on this one, E.
Golfer seven, Louis Oosthuizen. Okay, golfer seven for you, Stuart Sink. The old man's been playing really well. I'd say he's an old man. He's my age. Justin Rose, Mark Leishman, Max Homa, Corey Connors, and Christian Bezuidenhout. God bless you.
Yeah, Leishman's been playing well. The old man, Sink, has been playing well. Rosie's going to try to sneak in on me in here, so I'm not letting him go. I'm back to Rosie. I'm on Rosie again.
I think Justin Rose would be disappointed if back-to-back majors you didn't put him in your list, because you're always on Justin Rose.
Yes.
A couple more. Golfer eight, Austinite, Sergio Garcia, then Brian Harman, Shane Lowry, the Irishman, Kevin Kisner, Sam Burns, and Robert McIntyre. I know you're going Sam Burns here because you're picking Sam Burns.
I'm picking Sam Burns to win. Yes, I got Sam Burns here.
All right. Then that's a lock. And then finally, Matt Kuchar, Bubba Watson, Gary Woodland, Siwoo Kim, Carlos Ortiz, or Matt Wallace.
Well, I'd like to take Kuch, but I'm not going to take Kuch because the guy who's really starting to get into shape and form is Gary Woodland. So I'm going to take Woodman.
All right, so you and I are equal. I took Woodland, Sam Burns, and Justin Rose. So our back three are the same.
Yep.
We both – did you take – I took Kokrak. You took Louis Oosthuizen.
Yes, that's probably going to be the one to kill
Spieth. Me. We both took Jordan Spieth. You took Paul Casey. I took Scottie Scheffler. That's going to get me beat.
Come on, that is going to get you beat. That guy is – he's a little bit away.
I like Scottie Scheffler. I like his demeanor. Things don't bother him too much.
Well, he's a fun golfer, but you know you got to put it in the middle of the fairway too.
That's a good tough place
right here.
And then I took Daniel Berger in tier three. You took the Matsuyama. Masters champion Matsuyama. I took Daniel Berger. Golfer two, you took Victor Hovland. I took Brooks Koepka. I did. It's a major. It's Brooks Koepka.
He's got a bad wheel. He's got a bad wheel.
He's still the Terminator. I took Rory McIlroy out of Group One, and you took Justin Thomas. So there we go.
What's going to hurt you is Rory here. After winning, that guy's now he's got.
No, the last time they played,
he's got that new baby. He's going back.
The last time they played this event on this course in 2012, he won the tournament by eight strokes.
But now he's been a winner. Now he's going to go and be a daddy. So he's not going to be thinking
likes
about that.
Likes the wind. Doesn't mind the long course. He can overpower that. I'm all in on Rory.
What about Xander Schauffele?
San Diego. Too cool, man. He's a competitor for sure. All right, so there's the golf. There's some basketball. We'll get into all the other top stories. Another no-hitter in baseball. What does it mean? Is this a bad thing for Major League Baseball that no one can hit and they're not even trying to hit the baseball, it appears, or at least put it in play? We'll talk about that. Also, the Big 12 announces its football media days. That'll get us going on the top Big 12 storylines in 2021. I've come up with five of them that we should watch. Also, how about this, Buck? We'll get into the latest on is the latest quarterback in the Manning family quarterback dynasty, considering Texas. There's a kid named Arch Manning, who is the nephew of Eli and Peyton. Grandson of Archie, name is Arch, And he's a hotshot high school quarterback. Apparently, he's got a high opinion of Steve Sarkisian. So we'll get you details on that. Plus, Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We need your buck-ons and buck-offs all morning long. A B&E fact of the day. We're loaded on what's going to be a partly sunny, Thursday in Austin, Texas. We'll take that on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
It is Thursday on B&E. That makes it a buck-off Thursday each and every week. 2 hours from now, we'll be talking to Texas head baseball coach David Pierce. His Longhorns are poised and primed to maybe win a Big 12 regular season championship over the next three nights as they face West Virginia here in Austin, while TCU, who's in first place but only a game up, will be at Kansas State, Manhattan, to play the Wildcats for three this weekend. We'll know by Saturday night. Who the regular season champion is. Regardless, the Longhorns have a high ceiling beyond the results of the regular season in the Big 12. They've got almost certainly will host a top eight opportunity to host a regional, and will be a top eight national seed with Omaha in their vision. Now, David Pierce will tell us, tap the brakes, fellas, one game at a time, one pitch at a time, and that's good. That's how you have to approach these things. But it is fun to be in the position there, and they're a very good baseball team. So we'll talk to Coach Pierce in a couple of hours. Buck on to him and their team. They've been fun to cover this year and excited about the final series. And I got several messages yesterday from folks wanting to know about tickets for the games this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed, you know, you're watching the weather and you want to get to the game. According to the folks at UT, the single game tickets go on sale an hour before each game. So 5:30 tonight, they'll open up the ticket office. And there are tickets available. So they don't do pre-sale tickets. It's just a kind of a walk up and get your tickets an hour out. That'll be the case for all the games this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for Texas and West Virginia.
What was the crowd last night with the Lakers? And because I saw Drake there, but they make it so dark in the back. Now you can't see if there's people behind some of the stuff there. That's not a new thing for the NBA. I've been watching some of those games this year, and they don't want. I mean, and especially later on when they're letting folks back into the arenas, but you can't see who's in the arena. You can't see the people.
Yeah, because they got the tarps over the good seats, right?
Yeah.
Just like everywhere. I mean, every municipality is different than the next, so mm-hmm. Some have more capacity than others. Some are, and you're talking about Los Angeles last night. They're still, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
they've got problems, yes.
Yeah, and so every place is different. Look, the NCAA announced yesterday, back to baseball, but the NCAA made an announcement yesterday that come postseason time, depending on where you're playing, they're going to allow up to full capacity. I mean, the NCAA is not going to stand in the way of you having full crowds if where you are.
Right, it says you can go
ahead. In men's baseball and in women's softball.
Cool.
So you could, you know, right now Texas is still under, you know, Austin Travis County, so 50% I think would be the capacity max at this point for a super regional, but that could change by the time we get through the Big 12 tournament.
You're right.
You know, capacity numbers could change, so there's a chance if you get to the super regional round and the round of 16 for Texas baseball or Texas softball, they could say, you know what, let's pack the house. Let's fill this thing up. I know that's what Chris Del Conte has said is the plan for football in September.
I could see that.
107 days from now.
And why not say that?
Yeah. And so we'll see. And then the NCAA did open the mix on that. As for the NBA, say, what are these crowds looking like that we're seeing with the tarps? And we don't get the normal. I don't see Jack Nicholson on the court side at a big Lakers game.
So that's funny that y'all say that, because the NBA is kind of having an issue with that right now. Obviously, each state has their own rules and regulations. So that means some stands, they have packed house almost. Like, you'll see that in Utah. Utah's fans are very loud, very loud, and they will give them an advantage. And then you've got the Lakers, who obviously California has their rules, and they won't have as many. So
Kept it real dark. It was just dark last night, and you couldn't tell how many were. I'm thinking, is this packed or is it not packed? And you're right. If Utah's letting everybody in, then
yeah,
you will have a nice advantage.
Sure, there's no question. To have a packed house and rowdy people right on the floor will help Utah in their first-round matchup against, now they know they're going to play either Golden State or Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play Friday night for the right to be the eighth seed. But yeah, I mean, and that could be the same in college baseball. You know, you could have some areas, the hosting regionals, where they don't have a big crowd, where through the South and maybe even here at Texas, they're going to have packed houses. Up in Fort Worth, where TCU was likely to be a top eight host, as well. I mean, they could have, we saw that with Texas playing at TCU a couple of Fridays ago. That place was packed at Fort Worth.
I know.
And that was, Lupton Stadium was rocking. And there, I mean, Texas overcame that and won the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an atmosphere. That was what it's all about. Now the University of Texas, by the way, a little breaking news that happened yesterday. Texas University, University of, has lifted its mask mandate on campus just in time for graduation.
There you go. Hugging and kissing?
Yeah.
Kissing
well,
and a hugging?
Well, graduations are here. And
that means hugs.
That means
hugs.
Kisses,
yeah.
That means maybe like side hugs. You know, maybe the
the
old-fashioned bro hug.
No. We're going to get all up in it now.
Yeah.
Big hugs. Big hugs for the graduates.
Well, congratulations to all the graduates out there. We have invites to two, maybe three graduation parties this weekend. My kids are all graduated, but I got a college graduation party, a high school graduation party this weekend.
I want hugs.
That time of year.
I'm not hanging out with three. That's a lot.
Well, let me just say this. Based on what we went through last year at this time, I'm just happy to hear the word party.
Yeah, that's true.
Like going out, two things. It's a different animal, and we're excited about it. All right, so Buck, we've got Spurs season ending. It is fini. It's over. Back to back years without the playoffs. We talked to Greg Popovich. You and I have officially made our picks in the Horn Golf Challenge at hornfm.com. You are in. I am in. I'm picking Rory McIlroy to win the event. Jordan Spieth in the top 10. You are picking
Sam Burns.
I like the name. It sounds like a great Hollywood ass. Sam Burns. Starring Sam Burns. Hey,
Sam Burns walks like a gunfighter. Yeah, you know Dustin Johnson.
It's like OK Corral?
Yeah, Dustin Johnson has that kind of cool, smooth walk. But Sam Burns walks like he's got him holstered up and ready to go.
He's an LSU Tiger.
And he's been ready, and he's been playing well. So picking this guy as the next star on the PGA Tour.
I like this. I like this prediction from
you. Yeah, man, I like this kid. I think he's a good player.
Buck, so we've got a lot of top stories, which we'll get to. We'll get to this Arch Manning story. We'll get to, how about this, odds, DraftKings out with odds of who will be the comeback player of the year in the NFL. I think this is an interesting story because there's a lot of cool names, and we can debate that coming up. We will also talk Big 12 football because Big 12 Media Days have been announced and made official. Speaking of parties, we'll be up in Arlington middle of July. Get you details there. But I wanted to mention on the baseball with another no-hitter last night. We debated it yesterday, and now here we are 24 hours later, and there's been another no-hitter thrown. You know, the record for in a season for no-hitters is 7, right? In an entire season over the history of baseball, 7. They're already at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had counted Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter, which I think they should have, we'd already be at the record before Memorial Day, which is pretty ridiculous. And we've talked about the pretty unheralded pitchers who are throwing these no-hitters. Corey Kluber, the former Ranger, former Indian, now New York Yankee, is the latest to do it. He no-hit the Rangers last night in Arlington. It's the second time. The Rangers and Mariners have both been no-hit twice already this year, which is pretty ridiculous.
Well, if you look at the Mariners' batting average, you'll know why they got no-hit.
Right. Well, look at the Rangers. They're not loaded with top hitters, too. And people ask, well, you know, is this a problem for baseball? Is this good? No-hitters used to be, you know,
two a year, maybe.
Few and far between.
Maybe one a year.
Yeah, that you're like, oh, my gosh, I just got to see a no-hitter. Now it's like, oh, okay.
And we're talking about great pitchers.
Yeah, the best. And, you know, you can have a really good pitcher on a good night, right? Catch some breaks and defense makes some plays, and all of a sudden you're pitching for a no-no into the late stages. But it is interesting. And so people ask, well, what is happening? Well, I mean, it's a combination of several factors. The fact that the hitters are no longer swinging to contact, they're swinging for the fences. There's no doubt about that. The launch angle issue, which is, you know, you don't swing level, you don't swing down on the baseball as much as you're trying to launch the ball and hit home runs, which, you know, how about this quote that I read in a Jeff Passan article about the strikeout numbers in Major League Baseball, where Reggie Jackson, right, the great Reggie Jackson who celebrated a birthday this week,
mm-hmm.
So called it embarrassing when he watches baseball. And remember, Reggie Jackson struck out more times than any player in history.
Oh, speaking of a guy who, the launch angle.
Yes.
I mean, go down there and get it off the ground.
Here's a sad commentary. Reggie Jackson, who struck out more than any player of all time, says watching baseball today is embarrassing. Because back in the day, you had guys like him who were sluggers, but then you had people in the lineup who were punching Judy and
right.
Put it in play. And,
Mickey Rivers.
Yeah. Everybody had their role. And strikeouts used to be embarrassing. You struck out. If you took a collar, man, it was a bad night. And you know, you're miserable, kind of like you coming off a bad golf round yesterday.
Ugh.
Now it's like, oh, whatever. I mean, a strikeout's a strikeout, and that's the problem. So the other part is this, right? The hitters are trained to swing for the fences from a young age. the pitchers are now throwing harder than ever before. You know, if you go back just 10 years ago, the average four-seam fastball for a major league pitcher was 89 miles an hour. The average is now pushing 95 miles an hour. 89, so you've gained about 5 to 6 miles an hour in velocity. You have all these power arms, specialized pitching, shifts on the like all through the defense, right, where the defense right. is lined up to prevent hits. All of this is adding up to, you know, in the end, if you boil it on down, it's a boring product in a lot of these games. Where you turn it on, the Astros manager Dusty Baker quoted recently as saying, you know, I watched a game, he said, I watched the game the other night, and for three innings, nobody put the ball in play. He said, nobody even put the ball in play. Everybody, strikeout. Right. I mean, there's no action. There's nobody, nothing's happening. It's throw real hard, swing real hard, and, you know, and that's not a good product. End of the day. Rob, man, I don't know what the answer is. Man, you texters and buck on and buck offers can weigh in. I don't, but it's a combination of a lot of things. You know, and it all adds up to what we're seeing, where we've got, you know, if you count Madison Bumgarner's, we've got 7 no-hitters 2 weeks before Memorial Day, which would lead to if you translate that out.
They'll get end up around 12.
Well, that number would indicate you're going to be about 20. I mean, 7 in 6 weeks? I mean, they play till October. I mean, I don't know if it slows down at some point. Maybe we're 4 in a 2 week period now.
Yeah, we had one 24 hours. We were talking, and next thing you know, there's another one.
Yeah, I mean, it's
next. And another one.
But I do think it's everything we just mentioned. It's the velocity of these pitchers. These guys are throwing so damn hard. And anybody knows, if you throw a well thrown 97 mile an hour fastball, you're not hitting it. I mean, no one's hitting it. Maybe Tony Gwynn in his prime would put it in play.
If you look at a guy's swing, and you're talking about swinging for the fences, they swing a lot of bad balls, just balls that are way outside the strike zone now. The guys are trying to golf the ball out of the park now. Well, ever seen so many guys swing at balls that don't even make it to the plate, like just before they come to the plate?
Yeah.
They're either full, like you said, because the velocity of the ball just totally fools them. But they're like golfers up there. You see guys trying to golf the ball.
Well, that's
out.
Because if a guy's throwing
Speaking
90,
of Reggie.
Because if the average four-seam fastball is 94 – there's a lot of guys throwing higher than that, right? So they're throwing high octane, 97, 98, 99, 100.
Balls dipping.
Which, to your point, is if you're facing a guy throwing 99, you're going to load up for his off speed. I mean, you have to load up for the fastball. But if he throws you something, the slider or something off
Way
speed,
out front,
you're going to look stupid.
Yes.
And that's where we are with hitting and pitching, plus the shifts in the infield and outfield that we see that add to that. And somebody also mentioned the Cleveland Indians have also been no-hit twice. So of these 7 no-hitters, 3 teams have combined for 6 of the no-hitters. Rangers, Mariners, Indians have been no-hit twice already this
terrible.
Season.
Rangers, terrible.
Yeah, so and I think you do have some pretty bad teams as part of this,
right.
too, that conversation as well. So historic stuff in baseball, is it good, bad, or just what it is at this point will be a question we will throw out there to you and get some thoughts on throughout the course of this Buck Off Thursday. Coming back, we'll hit the BNE Fact of the Day. Also get into these football stories, Big 12 Media Days, Arch Manning, and who will be, who would you bet on to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL? There is a heavy odds favorite. I'll tell you that when we come back. It's BNE on the Horn.
It's time for the Craig Way Sports Report, brought to you by Bud Light. Now, here's
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Buck ons and buck offs. You decide every Thursday here on B&E, Show of the People, who needs a pat on the back, who's earned a kick in the hindquarters from you. Several saying Major League Baseball delivers a kick in the hindquarters for its style of play these days. Here's a guy who says, you got a bunch of ass out, shoulder back, all out swinging fools that only care about the long ball. They don't care if they strike out as long as they hit a home run every one out of every 40 times they go to the plate instead of trying to put the ball in play. The hell is wrong with us that we can't even play the game of baseball right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But someone else said, we talked about Reggie Jackson. Someone else texted and said, all these old guys are just bitter. Why can't we have progress? And is this progress, or are you progressing towards a really bad product in Major League Baseball is a fair question. Just because one thing I'll say for the National Football League, which is the most popular sport on the planet, or at least in this country, they've been progressive with their rules changes, which benefits the offense, right? And that it's an exciting brand. Now, whether you love that or you're old school running the ball and play defense kind of coach or whatever, you know, the NFL has stayed and made rules changes that make the game more exciting, at least in their mind. Whether it's Roger Goodell talks about every play. He wants every play to be interesting and matter and want people to watch. Major League Baseball, you would argue, has gone the opposite way, that all the progression of the last 10, 15 years has been towards launch angle and home runs and on the hitting side, and then power pitching and, you know, shifts and defense on the defensive side, which has led to not a lot of action.
Yes, but I don't understand that. Whose problem is that? Is it the managers? Is it the hitting coaches?
So that's the industry. There's no single person, because it starts at a young age and it's progressing up. But it's the commissioner's job and the powers of baseball to enact rules that would create some offense. I don't know what they are. It's a more difficult challenge than you see in football, I would argue, but yes.
You can't tell the guy to lob it up like softball.
No, you can't. You can't. And you can't teach every individual, you know, hitting lesson. But yeah, there's an art to playing baseball.
Where are those roids at again?
Oh, you know, live. Well, and people talk about juice ball. Well, you can't. Who cares if the ball's juiced if they can't hit it? And if you're striking out at an alarmingly high rate, you're not even hitting the ball. So who cares if the ball's dead or the ball's juiced or whatever? It doesn't even matter at that point. And it's really the style of play that they're choosing to play. And, you know, it's, especially if you're a Texas baseball fan, you're used to college baseball and Augie Garrido and small ball, Coach Gus.
Yeah, but people hated that too. They bitched about that. They bitched about small ball. Oh, that's not fun to watch, you know, bunting the ball. So I don't know. Is it progress by the pitchers, or because some of these pitchers are guys you just never heard of? I mean, they've never had. I mean, if you look at their records, the success of a whole year is not there.
Yeah.
So how are they doing these things?
Well, and I would say that, as this texter points out fairly, that, you know, six of the seven no hitters have come against three teams. Now, there are some bad teams in baseball, but there is an overall mindset with strikeouts through the roof and the way pitching is taken off. But yeah, I mean, to your point about people used to bitch about small, there's a comfortable medium, I think, right? There's a halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we, you know, in the football parallel, you don't want all offense, no defense, right? It's still in a league that's changed every rule to favor the offense. The team that play the best defense still win the championships.
Yeah, it seems like those are the guys that win the championships. We can't win a championship in the NFL without good defense. You can't have
Texas Tech's
defense.
Not winning any championships with Cliff Kingsbury and Pat Mahomes, right? They're exciting.
No.
It's a pinball game, but they don't win. You still have to play the fundamentals of the game at a high level to win the whole thing and be a superior team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But big buck on to yesterday, my former player, Jimmy Turner, joined
us. Yes,
big buck on to that. That was an awful lot of fun. And buck off to these folks or whoever the hell it is that are jacking cars around this area, man. Buck off to that stuff. BK said to me yesterday, he said, you need to start bringing your doo-doo brown truck. Well, you're wrong, BK. I'm not bringing my brown truck up here to have somebody jack my truck. You can jack that other car.
I don't think they're going to steal your doo-doo brown truck.
No, let me say this. You can't take that truck. We're going to have an argument about that truck. Now, I'll bring the other car if you want to jack that car, but you can't jack my truck now. Come on now.
Don't jack my truck.
I'll be on my knees. Come on, man.
Our radio station's on 360 here, and earlier this week there were two carjackings right over in the HEB parking lot area, right up the road here.
At gunpoint.
Yeah, carjackings. Stole the car. And I also saw where one of the cars was then, they stole a Porsche. And then used it in a carjacking at Barton Creek Mall.
To get what, a Tesla?
Take another car, yeah.
They get a Tesla on that?
And this is in like broad day, like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Maybe I should bring my brown truck.
Yeah, like
I
a lady,
want that truck.
Like over at the mall, like a lady coming out of Nordstrom. Yeah, so be careful out there, folks. Be careful out there. Buck off absolutely to that. We'll continue the bad baseball, good baseball debate. Also get to the NFL and college football conversations of the morning, because there are plenty. And the Spurs season has come to an end. With that in mind, let's get to the B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Here it is. It's their season ender. It's over. But DeJounte Murray last night did have a triple-double in the loss. His fifth of the season. That's the most triple-doubles by a Spurs player in a single season since... whom? Yeah, most with five since which player for the San Antonio Spurs in their 45-year history? Well, that'll be the answer to your B&E Fact of the Day next.